Psalm 13. Before we get down to prayer, we want to look at this psalm tonight. So we certainly pray that it'll be a blessing to all of our hearts. There are only six verses, so we'll read the whole psalm together. Psalm 13, and we're going to commence to read verse 1. How long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have revealed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing all to the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Amen. And we pray the Lord a blessed reading of his word to all of our hearts tonight. And you see the title really of the psalm? How long? How long? This particular psalm of David has been called the How Long Psalm. This is not because of the length of this psalm, because we can see it is indeed a very short psalm, only six verses. But rather it is so called because four times in this psalm, the psalmist, from the very depths of his heart, he says, how long? How long? Four times he cries this from his heart. Look at verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Four times he says, how long? We see as Spurgeon said, we had almost said the howling psalm. He wasn't going to call it the how long psalm, but the howling psalm. The reason is very simple. Here's a man in desperation before God. He's in trouble. He's having his disappointments and his trials and his life. And you know, he's seeking God for help. Now, to what instance David is in here, the commentators are not sure, but many believe it was the time that he was pursued by Saul and his men to take away his life. Now, you can see in this psalm, David is cast down. David is discouraged. David is depressed. David, in the very depths of his heart, he feels he can't go on. He's had enough. And I said to every child of God tonight in this meeting, have you ever been there? Have you ever been in this place where David is? Have you ever been cast down? Have you ever been so depressed? Have you ever been so discouraged that you say, I can't go on anymore? I would say every child of God tonight in this meeting has been there. And if you haven't, one day you will be in this place. Everybody will come to that place. You feel like giving up. You feel you can't go on another minute, another hour, another day, another week. Elijah was there. That great man of God, Elijah, in 1 Kings 19 and verse 4, it tells us about under a juniper tree, and he says, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life. Elijah has had enough. He feels he can't go on. Do you see Psalm 107? It says in verse 27 about the people of God, the children of Israel, and it says they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. That's the same type of people we're talking about. They're at their wits' end. I cannot go on another step. This is where we find David. You see these words. How long? How long? And I want to suggest three lessons from those words. In this psalm, we'll be looking at it entirely. David's anxiety is found in these words. You cannot read this psalm and fail to see that David has gone through a particular trial in his life. The very opening words that is brought before us here in this psalm, how long, reveals this to us. David is in a trial. David's heart is full of anxiety. David's heart is full of pain, because think of the pain of his trial. How long? What does he say? How long would I forget me, O Lord? You can see the pain of his trial. Nobody thinks that God has forgotten him. He believes God has forgotten him. He's crying it out here. You can see this in this particular psalm. The God of heaven has forgotten me. Job said in Job 19, you see, and the verse 14, my kinsfolk have failed and my familiar friends have forgotten me. Now, Job is looking at all his friends and his family, and he says, you know, they've all forgotten me. But I want to say to you here tonight, from this psalm, David's position is far worse, because he says, God's forgotten me. He says, how long would thou forget me, O Lord? And I would say to you, his pain is 10 times more than Job's. He feels God has forgotten him. Now, I want to tell you here, David is wrong in saying this, of course. This is how he's feeling. And he's a man. He's only a man. Just like you and I. We all have our faith, but we all have our feelings. And David is really feeling here, I have to say this. But let me say this. David was wrong in this. The Lord will not forget his people. In Isaiah 49 in verse 14, it says, but Zion says, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. That's what they were saying. They're saying the same things as David. But the prophet went on to answer this. And he says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee, God says. And he goes on to say, behold, have a look at this. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Now the Lord is answering this allegation. Thou hast forgotten all about me. And God says, how can this be? I will not forget you. I have graven you upon the very palms of my hands. How can I forget you? You're in the hand of my hands. And child of God, the pain of your trial, let me say this, you say God's forgotten you. Remember, you're in the Lord's hands. He has not forgotten you. But the very pain of his trial, he believed God had forgotten him. That's a lie from the devil, by the way. The devil comes to the child of God, who are in this place where David is, and he says, God's forgotten all about you. That's a lie. God will not forget you. Not only did he feel the pain of his trial that God had forgotten him, but he felt God had forsaken him. He says, how long, O Lord, will thou forget me? How long will thou hide thy face from me? That's the same. God is hiding from him. He has forsaken him. Not only forgotten this man of God in his deepest trial, but God had forsaken him. And now, no matter where he looked, no matter where he looked, he couldn't find God. He was searching for God. He wanted to see God by faith. He wanted to hear the very voice of God coming to his heart. But everywhere he looked, he couldn't find God. He couldn't find God. He felt God had forsaken him. Job said the same in Job 23 in verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. He was searching for God in all his anxiety and all his trial and all his trouble. He was searching for God as well. He couldn't find him. But I want to say to you, David was wrong again. The Lord had not forsaken him. And he showed you that in Isaiah there, because behold, I have given you upon the palms of my hands, and that particular passage told how the Lord would not forsake his people. But the Lord Jesus says in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise for all of God's people. Not just for the good times, but for the difficult times that come into our lives when we feel that we're being crushed and we're burdened down with troubles. The Lord says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Nevertheless, this is how David was feeling in his anxiety. The very pain here of his trial. He felt God had forgotten him. He felt God had forsook him. So how you feel tonight? Do you feel a burden in your heart? And Lord, I have a tremendous burden in my life, in my heart. I feel God has forsaken me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Christ will not leave you in your deepest need. I can assure you of that. As we see here, as we go on in this psalm. So think of the very pain of his trial. Think of the period of his trial. You can see this in the words that he used number times. I said four times. He says, how long? Twice in the verse 1. In verse 2, how long? Twice in verse 2, the beginning at the end. So four times here, he says how long. Here is a prolonged trial. It goes on and on and on and on. And you know, the mother where he looked, there's no end in sight. And he cries out, how long, Lord? Four times. Here's a prolonged trial. Don't he say in verse 1? How long, O Lord, will I forget me? What he says? Forever. He says forever. He feels that it's going on forever. It seems so long. And I can tell you this. Time will go slow for you when you're in a trial. And when you're carrying a burden deep down in your heart, you feel it's forever. He says, Lord, forever. Oh, how long it is. The trial goes on and on and on and on. When he's in this state of mind, this is when he said these words. Lord, forever. Is this how it's going to be? Why always to be like this? Now, if you read the Word of God, you will see that the Lord works sometimes like this. That there are trials and testing comes through God's people. And sometimes it lasts for years. Abraham waited for 25 years. To receive the promise of a son, Isaac. And I tell you, that was some trial. 25 years. Isaac had to wait for around 20 years before he could have children. Joseph, who had that promise of God, how he's going to be a ruler and all the rest of it, and brought out, had to wait 13 years before he was set free and set upon the throne. Moses, that mighty deliverer, the children of Israel, had to wait 80 years. God is never in a hurry. Sometimes our trials can be long. How long, he says. How long? See, as Spurgeon said, it's not only the sharpest, but the longest trials that we are in most danger of fainting. And there's a lot of truth that short trials can come and go, like a blast, and we battle down the hatches and we get through them and they're gone. Like a storm, there's going to be a storm, I think, come tonight. And but tomorrow morning could be calm again, I'm not really sure. But nevertheless, trials can come and they're sharp and the hoarders for a day or two and this way we're up and bouncing and away we go again. But you know, when this trial it goes on and on and on and on, that's a different thing altogether. How long is your trial going on in your life here tonight? A week, months, years? This is how it can happen. How long? Anxiety is found because of the period of the trial. Anxiety is also found because he was powerless in the trial. Look at verse 2. He says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? He's taking counsel in his soul about the matter. No, he talks to himself. I know about you. I talk to myself a lot. I'm sure we're all the same. And we go about that. Everybody sees and think we're mad. But that's the way it is sometimes. We're talking to the Lord. We're talking to ourselves. But he was taking counsel within himself. But he was trying to find out the answers. About this trial, about his heart being broken and the trouble that come into his life, and he's taken counsel, but it is to no avail. He does not find any answers in his soul. You know what he finds? He finds sorrow. Having sorrow in my heart daily. I notice daily. Every day is the same. Every day is the same. As if here is a heavy weight in his heart. He has a burden that is crushing him. He cannot rest. He cannot sleep. He cannot eat. He cannot settle. He cannot come up with any answers. And here's a man and he's waiting and he's wanting and he's worrying and he's weary. And it's hard for him to get through with God. How long? How long, Lord? And you can see in this man's life how burdened down he was in his trial here, and he's powerless. He's just powerless to help him, taking counsel, but no answers. And child of God, have you ever been there, taking counsel within yourself, sitting down trying to work the problem all out yourself, and you don't find anything there at all? You can take counsel with saints, and I'm glad of that, that we can take counsel of God's people, especially those in the ministry. And I suggest that to anybody here. I always say to young students, I give you a bit of advice. I said, always take advice in the ministry. Don't let a young fella take advice. And I've said to the truth of all of us. In Proverbs 11 verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Go to a man of God, go to a minister of this church, literally, and ask them, and take counsel from the elders, whatever the case may be. But you see here, powerless in this trial, we just have not got the answer in ourselves. We can look into our soul, and all we find is sorrow. And we're crying out from the depths of our hearts, how long? How long, Lord? How long? How long is this going to go on? David's anxiety. How long? Are you there tonight? Have you been there in the past? Will someone be there in the very near future? Hope you remember the message tonight. How long? David's anxiety here is fine. Then I want to notice David's appeal here in this, because it says in verse 3 and 4, consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. You see, Matthew Henry said that it is a case to a troubled spirit to give vent to his grief, spicy to give vent to them at the throne of grace. So you can have all this burden within your heart, but listen, let's bring our burdens to the Lord. The Bible says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And now when trouble comes, here we find David appeal to God. He's crying to God from the depths of his heart. Of course he cried here about his pain and his trial and his trouble. And he says, Lord, how long? Now he says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Here's a man praying. He's doing the best thing anybody can ever do. He's down before God and crying to the Lord with all of his heart. Now in David's appeal, he speaks here about his relationship. Look what he says in verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Now these words are very interesting. In the midst of this prolonged trial, David remembers that God is still his God and his Lord. How long? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Now this of course was true. The Lord was his God. David had right to come to pray and come to the throne of grace and come to meet with the Lord and come to cry into the very ear of God and come to the Lord with all his heart and with all of his burden and bring it down to the Lord. The Lord, my God. He could say this. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ in the darkest trial of all man. When he hung upon the cross and our sin was placed upon him and the wrath of the Father fell upon his Son, it pleased the Lord, the Bible says, to bruise him. We can never understand what Christ suffered upon the cross. We know he suffered for our sins. We know the wrath of God fell upon his lovely Son, the Lord Jesus. But can we fully really explain the pain he went through? Our dark trial in the darkness of the night. But the Lord Jesus said in the midst of his trial, in Matthew 27 verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabathai, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But here's the great thing, he says, my God, he realized in this relationship, as Christ being the mediator of the people, of the church he came to save, that God was his God. Child of God, you say the Lord has forgotten you. You say the Lord has forsaken you. Remember, he's your God. And Job learned that away down in the belly of the whale. Because in Jonah 2 verse 6, you know what he says? And he thought time he was swallowed up by the fish and found himself down in the bottom of the whale's belly and down in the very bottom of the ocean. He says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever, yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. O Lord, my God. You hear him? O Lord, my God. down in the bottom of the Wales Valley. God was still his God. And so here in this appeal, he speaks about his relationship. O Lord, my God. How long? Lord, you're my God, you're my Lord. Remember that tonight. Remember that. In this appeal, he speaks about his ruin. But look what he says in verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He feels here that the trial is going to take away his life. That's how bad it was. This is not just a little slight pain he has within his heart, a small word. He feels that this, what is happening to him, it is going to take away his whole life. Things are so bad, things are so severe in his heart and his life. He feels he's going to die. That's the sleep of death. Remember the disciples? Remember them in the boat going through the storm? The disciples came to him, that's Christ, and awoke him and says, Lord, save us, we perish. And I said to you, child of God, tonight, do you feel that the burden, the trial that's in your life and in your heart at this particular moment, that it's going to take away your life? That's how bad it is. Not the very fact you feel you cannot go on another step, but you feel it's going to take away my life. Well, there's David. There's David, the man of God. He feels the same. He feels it could take away his life, this burden, this trial. He speaks about his reproach in verse 4, lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against them. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. You see, the enemies will be coming against him and laughing and mocking, where's his God and all the rest of it. But what I say to you here is this: in David's trial, he took it to the Lord. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. That's the best place any one of us can ever get to tonight in this meeting. When you have a burden within your heart that you feel is crushing the very life out of you, so much so that you feel perhaps it could take away your life, you've got to get to the place where David got. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Thank God there's a place to go. David's taken his burden to the Lord. I know the Bible tells me in Psalm 55 and verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And here's what the Bible tells us to do with this heavy burden. And here's where David is, of course, in this particular psalm. He's bringing his burden, he's bringing his trial, he's bringing his troubles, and he's cast them all down at the feet of Christ. And we are to take this burden and we are to cast it. We're to cast it upon the Lord. Consider me, O Lord my God. One commentator said, a Christian should never let adversity get him down, except on his knees. Of course, we do get down, don't we? But if you're going to get burdens to get you down, you know where to get you down. Get you down on your knees. Get down before the Lord. That's where David is. Oh, child of God, you can bring your burden to the Lord, you see. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. The throne of grace is open because of Christ, our great Saviour. Our Lord Jesus tonight is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us as people. The golden scepter is held out by God the Father to us. We can come with all this heavy burden that's breaking us, that's crushing us. We can bring that burden to the Lord. Lord, hear him come. Would you do that just tonight? Your burden at all, says Lord. I can identify with this son. I can identify with David's cry. I can identify with it. I can identify with the pain that's coming out of these words. I can identify, Lord, with what he's saying about taking counsel within my soul and there's no answer. I can identify the fact that he feels he's going to die. I can identify, Lord, with all of these things tonight. Take your burden to the Lord. Do what David did. Because we come to this, how long, Sam? And David's answer. But I trusted in thy mercy. Verse 5, my heart shall rejoice In thy salvation I will sing on to the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Matthew Henry said, what is a price in chains here in a few lines? He said, in the beginning of the psalm we have him drooping, trembling, and ready to sink. But in the close of it, rejoicing in God and elated and enlarged in his praises. Now, we ask ourselves a question. Has Saul stopped persecuting David at this time? No. I ask you the question, is Saul dead? No. I ask you the question, has David just received a fresh regiment of soldiers? No. Has God changed? No. Nothing in the circumstances has changed at all. You know what has changed? His heart. That's what's changed. David's heart has changed. You see, he's trusting now. He's trusting the Lord in his trouble. He says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. He's trusting in the Lord, you see. He's full of unbelief and doubts and fears before this, before he comes to this particular place in the psalm in verse 5. He's cast down, he's depressed and everything about it, but now his whole life has changed. But I've trusted in the Lord. He believed God. He believed God would come to his aid. He believed God was with him. He believed God would help him. But you know, the answer to his problem was in his heart all the time. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. It's there all the time. You've heard, of course, of Pilgrim and Doubting Castle. Remember, they were closed up and they couldn't get out, and they were penned in with Jan de Spur, and they were cast bound. How are we going to get out of this place? We're in Doubting Castle, and Jan de Spur was this giant of a monster of a man, was looming over them. How are we going to get out? And they couldn't think for how they're going to get out. And then they remembered. And he put his hand in his pocket. He had the key of promise. The key of promise. And he pulled in the door. You see Pilgrim's Progress open the door. And away they got. And Jan's spur was left there in Doubting Castle. And they got out of Doubting Castle. You know why? They had the key of promise. Here it is with David. He remembers God. He remembers the word of the Lord. He's putting his faith in the God of his salvation. And this is David's answer here in his trust, you see. And child of God, if you're crying out, how long, Lord? Here's what I would say to you tonight. Put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. I'm not just saying that empty words. I'm telling you to do it. Well, we're not singing that tremendous hymn at the beginning of the meeting. Keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing. Well, there's nothing to fear. That hymn says faith in the night as well as the day. In Psalm 56 verse 3, you know the psalmist said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Do you see it? And we do be afraid sometimes, every one of us. I will trust in thee. Here's the answer, is trust, you see. He says, but I have trusted. David has done this. You trust the Lord. I have trust. Haven't you trust him with your soul tonight? Haven't you? Don't you trust him, child of God, to meet your every need and your supplies? Can you not trust God tonight with all your troubles and all your burdens and all your heartaches? Can you not? Of course we can. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. I trust in thee. Talks about his tune that was in his heart as well. Not only a trust, he speaks about singing. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord. This is marvelous altogether. Oh, he's singing. Oh, he's saved from his sin. Of course, he talks about salvation and Satan and himself and Saul, of course, too. The salvation he saved in a capital fashion from these men. But what I say to you here is this. He's now singing. He says here that I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing. He's going to sing unto the Lord. What a wonderful change the Lord can make in a moment in your heart. How quickly it's all changed, this psalm. From the lamenting and the crying and the fearing that's in the very beginning of this psalm. But now you're at the end of it, he's singing. He's singing. Because burdens are lifted at Calvary and Jesus is very near. And he knows the Lord is with him. The psalmist said he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear to trust in the Lord. He's singing, you see. The Lord, I trust, will change your heart tonight before you leave the meeting. Say, I will trust in the Lord, I will do it. And the burden will go. His testimony, of course, also here in the answer. He says, I trust in the Lord. The first, end of verse 6, sorry. Because he has dealt bountifully with me. He said this, of course, in the past tense. The thing was as good as done. He knew that the Lord, who had helped him in the past, that the Lord was going to help him again. See the power of faith here, the power of prayer, how good it is to draw near God. And he knew that help was on his way. The God who helped him in the past, he's going to do it again. And joy is singing in his heart. You can think of Hannah going to the temple in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 18. Remember that woman who was in real bitterness of soul, broken there in the temple, or sorry, in the tabernacle, crying unto God with this tremendous burden that was in her heart. And you know what it says in 1 Samuel 1 verse 18? She said, that thy handmaid find grace in my sight. So the woman went her way in the deep, and her countenance was no more sad. Well, you see, a different woman going out of the meeting, wasn't she? She came into the tabernacle, burdened down and broken, weeping with bitterness in her heart. But see, when she's walking out, it says her countenance was no more sad. She knew God had heard her. David knew that God had heard. Child of God, God knows your need. You pray to him, he'll hear you tonight, and he'll help you. There's no doubt about this. God will never forsake his people in their need. Do you know anybody he has? I'm saved 29 years. But I don't know any of God's people that God forsook in their time of need. He comes, he helps, he holds his people in their time of need. The story is told about a man one time, a Sunday school class, and they're asked, what's your favourite? Asked a question, in your time of discouragement, what's your favourite scripture? A young man says, well, my favourite one is the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A middle-aged woman said, well, my favourite one in time of trouble is God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Another woman says, well, it had to be John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Then there's a man 80 years old. He said, what's your favourite verse? He said, and it came to pass. That is found, as I said, many, many times in the Bible. This is said here that it was found 396, but we had to check that out to get the right one. We're not saying that for, well, it's hundreds of times. You read the Bible and it came to pass. The class started to laugh, thinking the wee man, the man's going nutty, and so on. And when the snigger stopped, he said, I'll tell you why. At 30, I lost my job. 6 hungry mouths and a wife to feed. I didn't know how I was going to do it. At 40, my eldest son was killed overseas in the war. At 50, my house burned to the ground. Nothing was saved out of the house. At 60, my wife of 40 years with cancer, it slowly ate her away. We cried many times, many nights together, and on our knees in prayer. At 65 she died. I still miss her today. The agony I went through in each of these situations was unbelievable. I wonder where God was. But each time I looked in the Bible, I saw one of those verses and those phrases, and it came to pass. And I felt God was telling me, my pain, my circumstances were also going to pass, and God would get me through. Now, I'm saved 29 years and I can identify with that man. It came to pass. We pass through the storms of Christian life. You don't stay in them. It'll come to pass. David is in one. David is crying to God. David is trusting the Lord. And he's singing at the end of it. And I know how God's going to do it for you or for me. But I'll tell you this, you'll be singing at the end of it. You will be singing, I will sing unto the Lord. Because he has dealt bountifully with me, God will change your circumstances. There it is in the psalm. And there's many more passage of the Bible with the same principle, the same message. How long, O Lord? Help us on His way. The end is in sight. As I sang, we sang a great hymn together. Keep on believing Jesus is near. Aren't you glad He's near you? Aren't you glad He hasn't forsaken you? Aren't you glad He's your friend that's sticking close to a brother? Trust Him with all your heart at this time. May the Lord write those words upon all of our hearts. Amen.